Oh, I'm sorry, Brandy's got it. I apologize.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't want to stop. I don't know if you ever feel like that, but I just wanted just to kind of go on to heaven, right? Just enter right on in sometimes. It feels so good to be in the presence of the Lord. And we welcome you here this morning. Welcome you. You're so welcome to be in Harrisburg Community Church. Be blessed. Allow God to move upon your heart and upon you with his love and just touch you and just let go and let God. Sometimes that's the best thing in the world you can do. This morning we have something really special. Brother Robbie, would you come? You're going to be blessed.
This is a tremendous blessing. And I want you to know the Lord's been working mightily on these men in youth group, on their hearts. And I can tell you at their age, I'm going to try and choke up. You guys know when I get in front of you, I get sentimental because I love how God works on our hearts. And there's one boy that's going in the Army here soon of his own volition, decided that's the best path for him. But my point is, when I was in youth group, I wasn't like these boys. They willingly drive to church to be with their friends and to talk about God and to hang out. And that's something that it just baffles me, because I was thinking about a myriad of things when I was their age, but God was not on the forefront of what I was thinking about. And the way that God works on these boys' hearts just amazes me. And I love him so much for it. And so with that being said, Chad May, would you come up here? Speaking of working mightily on boys' hearts, this young man, first of all, is very talented at the piano. And I don't know if you've heard him play, but he has got something that's being nursed right now, and I'm proud of him. But so Chad came up to me recently and asked, what do I do to be a member of this church? I'm here all the time. And it's funny, we have this running joke. Maybe it's subtle, but I used to think that, Chad and Caleb, they bicker, they gripe, they're best friends, and they seem like brothers to me. And so today is a day that they can be brothers in the spirit, right? Today is a day that they can finally be united. So, where's my phone? I have a verse I want to read before we commit this young man into the family of God. This verse is for you, Chad. John 5, verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you. Time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has also granted the Son to have life in himself. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Today, this young man is not dead physically, but dead spiritually. And today, he has heard the voice of God. He's heard the voice of God prior to today, because he's been working on this man's heart. He didn't have to wait until he's on the cross. The thief who professed belief waited his whole life. This young man's being worked on his heart right now. Chad, may I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that he died and rose 3 days again? Rose after 3 days?
Yes.
And Chad, I would like to officially welcome you into the family of God, brother.
What a great day, amen? Amen. The elders are going to just lay hands on him and pray for him and just bless him in the name of the Lord. Please.
Father, we just lay our hands on this young man. We welcome him into the kingdom of God. We welcome him into this family. We just praise you and thank you for what you've done in his life. But Lord, you've shown me he ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
He can look forward to a glorious life serving the Lord. We thank you for him. We bless him in Jesus' name.
Father, just open the windows of heaven. Cause your word to be preeminent in his life. And Father, the hunger for your word would be deep in his soul and in his heart. And he would find himself quoting scripture, even in his sleep. Lord, that your angels would guard him and protect him. And the enemy would not touch him in the name of Jesus. We set a hedge of fire around about him. And even the crown of thorns around about him in the name of Jesus. That nothing would penetrate. Lord, keep him in the hollow of your hand.
Yes, Lord.
Teach him your ways, O Lord, and he'll walk in your truth. Give him understanding heart and he'll fear your name. And he'll walk humbly before you all the days of his life. Trusting only in you. Not in the arm of the flesh, not in man, but trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Most High God. We look to you today, the author and finisher of all our faith, and say peace in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you that being part of a church is not a transfer of membership or a name on a roll or how much you tithe. Lord, it's being baptized by one spirit into one body.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for Chad's decision to answer the call and the draw of the Spirit and just agreeing with what you've already done for him, his provision, your provision for things he couldn't do himself. Lord, I thank you so much for him receiving that by faith. Father, I pray that you would help him. In Psalms it says, how shall young man cleanse his way? And David wrote, by taking heed into your word. And he went on to say, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I pray you'd help Chad to hide your precious word in his heart. So
yes.
When hard times come, when trials come, when tribulation, when Satan tries to put things on him that Jesus died for, that he can roll those off by the word of God and the work of the Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this, brother. And we receive him into this fellowship in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. And Lord, amen. I pray also that all the gifts and talents that you've poured
thank
into
you,
him
Lord.
Would be utilized for the kingdom in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother, we're here to serve you if you can do anything to help. Okay.
Welcome. God bless.
Robbie, thank you so much.
Thank you for him.
Amen. Thank the Lord. I saw bottles of blessings back there this morning. Please avail yourself of the bottles of blessing. Do what? They're sitting at the back table. The bottles of blessings. Paula? I'll let Paula do this. She raised her hand.
Yeah, and Anna's still not feeling real great, so she asked me to announce. The bottles of blessings are... Center. I'm not sure how long, and we'll have to this week. But have one as you go out, put your change.
Sorry for our problems with.
I don't know.
To God be the glory. Amen. Just praise the Lord in all things. Doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Bottles of blessing. The bottles are sitting back here on the floor. It's for the crisis pregnancy center. It's something else now. It's something else. But Ann Bird.
Haven Care Center.
And just fill it up.
And it's a joint thing between Mercer and Bowl.
Fill it up with your change. Yes.
Their offices are in
there. Fill it up with your change. And Ann will give us a day whenever we need to bring them back. It's usually 30 days. I think it was 30 days the last time that we bring them back. And then we'll just find out exactly how much money that we're able to give to them. Thank you, everyone, for the money for down in Liberty. Galilean home. It was 700 and somebody help me. It ended up being exactly 800 because we rounded it up to, it was like 777, 97 or something, and we rounded it to 800. Holy Week begins tomorrow. And so everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing for Holy Week with the sandwiches and all that. So please avail yourself. And I see hands being raised, so I just come running with the mic.
Thank you, everyone that signed up. I've had a couple people call me with questions about what time their food is to be delivered to St. Andrew's Catholic Church. I got the word this morning, 11 by 11 o'clock. If you're going to those services, plan to arrive a few minutes early. I'm sure that would be fine. And I believe the fellowship is to the left, as fellowship hall is to the left as you go in the main doors. In the vestibule, there's some doors off to the left, and I believe that's where it is. So I hope that's helpful, and I really appreciate it. For 10 to 12, 15, a sheet cake, a pan of brownies, that kind of thing, cut to serve at least 10. So I really appreciate you signing up.
Both of our Bible studies will begin again this week. I think Robbie's is at 6:30. Pastor Terry's is at 6. So the Bible study and supper will begin at 6 at Pastor Terry's house. This morning we're going to be blessed. Brother Rod Buxton is going to be sharing the word with us this morning, so get ready for an exciting time this morning. I know the Spirit of the Lord is here. We've already experienced His presence. Next Sunday morning, April the 1st, and it's not April Fool's Day for us as believers, hallelujah. There's no April Fool's for us. We live by faith and not by sight. Our annual sunrise service will be held at Mike and Paula's house. And if you need directions, where are the little maps? Are they in the bulletin? They're on her computer. So you have to actually get into her computer somehow. I don't know how you're going to do it, but she... No, if you need directions, see Mike and Paula. If you don't know the directions and you want to come to the annual potluck breakfast, there'll be a sunrise service. And I promise you, it's a tremendous blessing to be a part of that. At this time, birthdays? Here. I'll let you do those.
No.
He's not doing it. Birthdays. Abby Bird and Hannah Felty, Saturday the 31st. Any anniversaries? That's all you got? That's it? Prayer requests and the Bible. We didn't do a Bible study this past week, so we'll go forward. You can tell we're really organized this morning, right? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pays to open your eyes and look, doesn't it? All right. Yes, brother.
Another opportunity to serve. Which is the extended care facility over at Hagen Hospital, is getting ready to move to their new, was the Edry Montgomery restaurant, steakhouse. But they do a service once a month for the residents at Hagen. This will be the last one that they do at the old facility. And Sleeper, who is the head of the laboratory, becoming the chaplain over at Ephraim McDowell, is going to be leading that service. You all are welcome to come. We need some extra people to sing because they don't have their major musician with them today. So anybody would like to come at 2 o'clock, it's about 30 minutes. Then they're going to go over to the new facility and have open house. So you're all invited.
There was an open house on Thursday, for the all the businesses. And our facility, Signature Healthcare, was there. And several of the other facilities were there. But all the businesses were welcome to come in and tour the building this past Thursday. So, all right. Any other announcements? Any praise reports? a praise report. Let's give God some glory this morning for answered prayer.
Yeah, I'd like to praise the Lord. I had an incident a couple of months back, which was concern, and a nurse practitioner gave me a bad report and was sending me to Markey. And I had a recent CAT scan this past week and another procedure. I didn't even need the CAT scan. I am fine. Praise the Lord. I just have a couple of little cysts. While I have the microphone, I would like to request prayer for my daughter, Beth. She's a nurse at Ephraim, and she pretty much fell out on Thursday while at work. Scared most of her patients. You know, that's not comfortable, but... And they took her to the ER and discovered she had, it's gallstone pancreatitis. She has a complication. They have not performed surgery. They're watching her levels. The pancreatic levels are coming down, but she hasn't eaten any foods like oatmeal, things like that. And they're going to do that challenge probably today. If her levels continue to rise, they will have to do an emergency gallbladder removal, which could lead to other problems. Just please remember her. It's quite serious. Thank
you. Her name is Beth.
So a quick update
remember
on
that,
brother.
Please.
Let me give you a quick update on Mona's brother. If you've been following the prayer chain, some of you aren't, Kalen kind of disappeared for a few days. We hadn't heard from him. And so long story short, he was in his apartment for 4 days, didn't eat, didn't drink, laid in the bed, and just couldn't really get up to do anything, take care of himself. And so they went in the apartment, found him, and, you know, he's okay, but he is probably in the last days of his cancer. They, when he went in for his last treatment, they told him that they couldn't treat it anymore, that they could just, you know, make him comfortable. So he's in Central Baptist. We were over there last night, and they're trying to get his meds, his pain under control, get him hydrated, and we're going to have a meeting Monday with him, he in hospice and caseworker and stuff, and try to see where we go from here. So it's kind of a difficult time for his family and ours, and so covered your prayers for that.
Amen. I have a very close friend that I'm sitting beside, Laura Sutherland. She was my HR when I worked at Lowe's, and we both kind of got dismissed from Lowe's, which has been a huge blessing in my life, and it's been a huge blessing for Laura. And so she's got a praise report this morning.
Amen. After a couple looking for a job, I finally accepted a job offer this week, and I'll be starting work April 23rd. And you can see me at the Danville Walmart.
That's great.
She actually got a promotion. Yes. She is now an assistant store manager for the Danville Walmart. So a lot of pressure. Praise the Lord.
Several of you already know, but Lewis was in a car accident Wednesday afternoon and wrecked his car. When I saw the car, he shouldn't be here this morning. He should be laying in a hospital bed somewhere or propped up at home. Did quite a bit of damage. So we are very grateful that he wasn't hurt, the other driver was not hurt, and that we have some tough lessons to learn, but it was kind of a little bit of a shock to see that car on Wednesday afternoon sitting on the side of the road.
God is good all the time. God is good. Let's pray. Father, this morning we lift Beth up to you, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that your grace would be poured out afresh and anew upon her. And Lord, that you would give all the doctors wisdom and insight to each and every aspect, and we pray healing would flow into her from you, O God. We thank you that your hand is upon her life. Lord, that you're going to direct her life. And Father, that she will serve you all the days of her life, for that's her parents' confession. Father, we ask you to work in her life and utilize this to draw her closer to you, that, Lord, she would cry out to you. We know that you are her helper. Father, for Kalen, we place him in your hands, and Father, we pray even now, your kingdom come and your will be done, and the word that you spoke to him almost 8 years ago would come to pass. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name for your grace to be poured out on him, upon the family, and Lord, that strength would be poured into him, And Father, that your will, we pray, Lord, your will be done in Kaylin's life in the name of Jesus. And Father, we know your will. We lift your will up and say, Father, your will be done in his life in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for even for restoration in the name of Jesus. We curse the cancer in his body in Jesus' name, and even pray for healing, pray for a miracle, God, because there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too difficult for you, and we ask you, sir, in Jesus' name, to pour out your spirit afresh and anew upon him in the name of Jesus. Give all the doctors and all the counsel wisdom to know the will of God in Jesus' name. This morning we are going to be moved upon by the Spirit of God through Brother Rod Buxton. Let's bless the Lord in Jesus' name. Rod?
Hallelujah. God is God. He's still alive. He's seated on the throne. He's not worried about anything. But then we're human. So we're allowed to a few little incidences like that every once in a while. I want to share with you this morning about the passion of Jesus the Christ. As I thought about this, I just felt like the Lord wanted us to see the gore because we're going to see the glory when we celebrate his resurrection next Sunday. But you know what? He wouldn't have been raised for our justification if he hadn't gone through what he needed to go through for us and for his Father. Because his Father is God Almighty as well. And he cannot abide sin. So I want to share with you today, just I thought about this. I thought, well, where do I start? What do I include? And then I thought, oh, it's not that question. It's what can I exclude? So I just asked the Lord to help me with this, and we're going to go through this. And I want us to keep in mind that all of it had to be done to satisfy God and to provide forgiveness for us, to provide new life for us. So let's go to these scriptures. I just began with the last Passover or the Lord's Supper at that meeting. It was in Matthew 26:20, New American Standard Bible I'm using. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And they were having the last Passover. And there are things that happened here. You remember, we've caught all of this in bits and pieces, but we're just going to try and put it together here this morning. Jesus started off, and one of the things he did was he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. He instituted they were celebrating Passover, but he instituted this by saying it was his blood that they were going to be taking, and it was his body that they were going to be taking. Along the way, he said, by the way, one of you is going to betray me. And they all said, oh, no, it can't be me. Keep this in mind. They all said, oh, it won't be me. I'm not going to betray you. And then he revealed who it was. And it was Judas. And one of the things he said to him was, just go and do what you need to do. Why? Because it had to happen. So the traitor... The treachery was exposed. The traitor was exposed. And they were having the meal together. And you know what the disciples started talking about? Which of them was the greatest? This all happened after Jesus came in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they were saying, Hosanna, I read it to you this morning. And then what did they say later? Forgot all about that. All they said was, crucify him. In John 18:1, we see that Jesus is entering the Garden of Gethsemane. Praise the Lord, thank God, Jill and I have been there. And the path that they took, it says right here, Jesus had spoken these words. He went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron. And we were on that path that they would have taken. And we didn't walk it because it went down into the valley of Kidron and then back up the other side. But they went through that ravine and over to the garden in which he entered with his disciples. And in that garden, it's on Mount of Olives, okay? And in that garden, there were a whole lot of olive trees. And they would have had in there, we couldn't remember whether we ever saw it or not, but they would have had in there a press. It was a huge stone. It was level on the top. It had a little lip around it. You know, they'd ground it down so it had a little lip and a place for the oil to run out. And so what they would do is they would gather the olives from right there. As a matter of fact, the guide said that there would probably be a tree here in that garden when we were there that was there in the garden when Jesus was there, because they live, those olive trees just go on and on and on and on. Okay. And so they would gather the olives right there in the garden, and they would put the olives on the press, and then they would roll a huge stone over that, and they would crush the olives, and then the oil would come out. Okay. And it's interesting, and of course, does anybody know what the name of the garden is? What was it? Gethsemane. Gethsemane. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the Jewish word for press is got, and the Jewish word for oil is shemen. And so this garden was Gethsemane, Gethsemane. The oil poured out from the press. Jesus, think of the agony that he went through in that garden. Remember the scattering? He had to tell them, all of you are going to leave me when the time comes. He told them that. He went and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and the sweat came from him as if it were drops of blood. And then he'd go back and find the disciples sleeping when he just said, you know, just pray with me if you would. I'm just going to go over here a ways, but pray with me. He went and found them sleeping a couple of times. Then there was the betrayal. Judas came, went up to him, kissed him on the cheek. And that's how they knew who it was. But you know what? Jesus met him. You can read it in several of these passages. Jesus met him. He saw them coming, and he went up and he said, who do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus the Nazarene. And you know what he said? I am he. And if in my Bible, all it says is, I am. The he was added so it made more sense to the translators. And you know what happened? Those who were coming to get him fell to the ground when he said, I am. What else happened? Well, Jesus prayed and he prayed and he said what finally? Not my will, but thine be done. So he was, in a sense, pressed by the enemy because he was tempted not to go through with it. But he said, Father, not my. He asked him, if we can pass through this one, I'd really like to do it. But he said, but not my will, but thy will be done. So he went through the pressure of all of that, and he brought forth the oil. What does the oil mean in, what is this oil linked to? It means joy, for one thing. It means healing, for another thing. But most of all, it means the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. All of this would come through for the sacrifice he was making. We'd see the joy. He'd see the joy. He'd bring healing. He brought healing. He still brings healing. And most of all, we still have the anointing of the Holy Spirit with us. In Matthew 25, 57, Jesus was brought before Annas and also Caiaphas, the high priest, and the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Oh yeah, they came together. They were on a mission. So they came together. During this time, well, as a matter of fact, on the way to there, and this happened at the, by the way, this happened at the Garden of Gethsemane, and then it got worse. When they came to arrest Jesus and took him, you know where the disciples went? Away. All of them said. It wasn't just Peter that denied him. But it was all of them that said they would stay with him to the end. And they all left. And then along the way, Peter had three opportunities not to betray him. And he failed in all of them. You know, I've sometimes wondered if maybe some of the worst things that he suffered wasn't the fact that they turned back on him. They turned their back on him. So they brought him now before Caiaphas. And there were false accusations, there were false witnesses, there were interrogations, there were more accusations again. And you know what? In Matthew 26, verse 63, but Jesus kept silent. He said nothing in his defense until the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you will tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. What's the next verse? You have said it. I don't know how these people out in the world can go around saying Jesus didn't know who he was. He told enough people. All you have to do is just read it. He's quoting here. He says, nevertheless, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So he said, I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. He was quoting scripture here. One was from Psalm 110:1, and the other was from Daniel 7:13, I believe. But now notice, I thought to myself, well, he was being silent, and you know, when we read some of the prophecies and everything, it said he was silent and everything, but he spoke up. And I asked the Lord, why was that? And he said, well, what did the priest ask him? He said, I adjure you, I warn you by the living God, tell us. And so he told them, because he was warned by the high priest. You know, Jesus never sinned. If he had disobeyed the high priest, it would have been a no-no. Okay? So we have to understand all of this. I was reading a Christian novel by the Brocks, and there was a Jewish priest, Jewish rabbi, and his saying was, every word has a meaning. Every word, and he was always referring to the Word of God, every word has a meaning. And so we need to understand that Jesus was doing this, obeying God completely, never finding any fault in himself, because he was always obedient to the Word of God. And he, in these instances, he was quoting the Word of God. Okay, after they questioned him and did all these things, then they spat in his face, they beat him with their fists, they slapped him and mocked him humiliatingly. They blindfolded him and then hit him and then said, "Prophesy and tell us who hit you." And then those that had come and arrested him, then they took him from the high priest's house, and they kept him all night, and he continued to mock him. They continued to beat him. They scourged him all through the night. And this is just the beginning. So in Luke 22:66, Jesus was this is the next morning, then it was day, and the council of the elders of the Sanhedrin had gathered together. Okay? They had the chief priests, the scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber. And guess what? They started in on him, asking him again. 66, let's go on, read through this a little bit. 67, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Twice he told them who he was. Twice he said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. The quote here from that he uses here is from Psalm 110:1. If we bring that up. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. It's a psalm of David. David didn't, I don't think, knew what he was writing when he wrote that, but he wrote it. And there's two lords there. So there's the Lord God, the Father, and there's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he even gave them the scriptures that they needed. Then they took him to Pilate. Mark 15:1, Jesus before Pilate. And here, why did they take it? Why did they take him to Pilate? Why didn't they just crucify him? Because they couldn't by law. And you know, they were legalists. They couldn't crucify him themselves. Okay? So they took him to the Romans. Pilate could find no fault. But he passed him on to Herod when he found out he was from Galilee. So he went to Herod. Herod questioned him, couldn't find any fault, but he treated him contemptuously and mocked him. They dressed him in a royal garment and took him back and sent him back over to Pilate. And then Pilate said, well, I still can't find any fault in this guy. I'll tell you what, I'll beat him up a little bit. So he had him scourged. The soldiers crowned him with thorns. And then Pilate brought him, and I think he was trying to appeal to their compassion, which they had none, but he tried to get him released. They said, hey, I know what. It's a Passover. I'm going to release one of your prisoners. Now, who would you have? And the instigator said, Barabbas. So he couldn't get out of it that way. So what he did then was he washed his hands of Jesus. And then he turned around and pronounced that the people's demands would be met. And he sentenced him to crucifixion. So they took him from there. Walked the path to Golgotha. And the crucifixion began. Luke 23:33. They crucified him and the criminals, one on right and one on the other. One other was on the left. And you know what Jesus did starting out this ordeal on the cross? Cried out to his Father. I'm going to talk about the crucifixion through the words of Jesus. He talked to his Father and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Then in the two thieves, we have to remember this if we go on to the next verse at 43. You know, they both started out, both of those thieves started out reviling Jesus. They were saying, you know, hey, get us out of here. Get us out. If you're really who you say you are, you can take yourself out and take us with you. And they just mocked him. But one of the thieves saw something that he couldn't deal with. And he said, Lord, I'm with you. Truly I say to you, is the promise that he gave him. Truly I say to you, that this day you will be with me in paradise. John 19:26. He's hanging on the cross, folks. Breathing his last. You need to read sometime the description of the crucifixion and what it does to your body. But it was hard for him to even take a breath because if he'd been stretched out like this and hung. But you know what? On the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother. You know, one time Jesus was told that his mother and his brothers were out and they wanted to see him. And he said, these are my mother and my brothers, his disciples, people he was talking to. He didn't reject his mother. He was just trying to make the point that he cared about people. So he saw his mother there. And he saw his beloved disciple there. And he put them together. Woman, behold your son. Son, your mother. He saw to his family. He saw to his mom. He saw to his beloved disciple. Because he knew that they were going to need each other in the days to come. Then, in Mark 15, beginning with verse 33, sixth hour had come. Sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land. Next verse, 34. And at the ninth hour, remember these hours here, ninth hour, he said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And do you realize that God had to turn his back on his son because of the sin problem? Because of you and me? Because of all mankind? The Father had to turn his back. That had to have hurt Jesus more than the disciples turning their backs on him. The one he loved and adored, the one that he obeyed in every way, had to turn away from him. But you know, Jesus understood. He knew what the plan was. He knew why it was there. He knew it had to happen. And if you make a study of this, the passion of Jesus the Christ, you'll find out that there were just scripture after scripture of prophecy that were fulfilled during this time. That had to be fulfilled. It's what made it work. And he's quoting here, so, excuse me, and he's quoting here, yeah, Psalm 22, 1 through 3. I want you to see this. This is another Psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. That's amazing to me, that he spoke those words and he said, Father, it's okay because you're holy. Next we see Luke 23:44, I think is the next verse. Yeah. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. Okay. We saw a little earlier that it was the third hour. And at this point, verse 45. Because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. There's another event. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Right before he said that, remember what he said? Well, it was actually in between him crying that out and his death. Here's what he's saying. If we would look at Psalm 31:5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. Another Psalm of David. But keep in mind now, we've seen 2 hours here. The third hour, which is 9 a.m., and the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. And this crucifixion was begun in the third hour. And it ended with his death in the sixth hour. So there's a six-hour span there. We learned this morning in Sunday school that the third hour is when a lamb is killed, when they celebrate the Passover. Not only is it that hour, but every day in the temple throughout the Jewish history, the offerings began with the offering of the first lamb at 9 o'clock in the morning at the third hour. And they offered sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice for 6 hours. And the last lamb was sacrificed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or the ninth hour. Isn't it something that God had it set up so that he would have Jesus making the final sacrifice over that same six-hour period of sacrifices? John 19:30. And here, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was finished. God had it set up perfectly. He had it prophesied for years and years and years, and Jesus accomplished it. And that was all the gore that had to come because of us, so that we could be free of all the slime. He suffered the gore. And next week, we're going to experience the glory. I want to close with us just looking at and reading Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. This is just one place in the Old Testament. There are many, many, many. But just see how true this rings. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, our sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows, pains, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. But all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. There is translated more accurately, having made him sick. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. As we go through Holy Week, we're going to get another look at this, and I just hope, I guess I implore, that we all will recognize what Jesus the Christ suffered for us. He did it willingly, and in a sense he did it joyfully because of what it would bring him. And next Sunday we're going to celebrate the firstborn. Amen. Of the resurrection. Amen. And the rest of us later born will enjoy it. God bless you.
Stand with me, please. Yes.
Shared this morning for the first time, and you want to respond to it, and we're here to receive you and to pray with you. But I just feel like maybe the Lord has showed someone something very specific about this. And if that's you, we'd appreciate it if you'd come forth and let us pray with you.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is
says, dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to join Him in the air. Shall we forever be with the Lord. That day's coming. That day is coming. For us, it'll come sooner than others. On Friday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, I had one of my elders at the nursing home where I work went to be with Jesus. I get to see a lot of this and be a part of the celebration and the homegoing of a lot of people. I've had 15 since January the 1st that have gone to be with Jesus. There is going to be an awakening that's going to turn this world upside down. When the eastern sky parts and those that are in Christ that have already gone on before us rise, what a day that's going to be. Whew, that's what we're all striving for. That's why you're in church this morning. Is because you believe in the resurrection. You believe in the virgin birth. You believe in the death, the burial. You believe in all of it. That's why you're here. That's why you live for Jesus. Heaven is going to be worth it all, guys. It's going to be worth it all. No eye has seen and no ear has heard, and neither has it ever entered into the heart of a man the things that God has in store for those who love Him. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look on His face and see the glory of His grace. What a day that will be. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the grace of the Lord. Amen.